All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
What's happening?
What's up?
Welcome back to another episode of Wheel Wednesday. I'm Scott from Koenig. That is Jared from Koenig. You've seen us before. We've done this for almost 2 years now.
Yeah, before we get into all that stuff, wow. Obviously please like, subscribe, turn the notifications on, because we're just a wheel company trying to make cool content for you.
So true. Man, we just came from an insane live.
That was nuts.
As you know, we go live on Instagram and Facebook 2 p.m. Eastern every Wednesday. We usually do Q&A. We'll be happy to do Q&A here. So if you have questions, throw them in. We'll get to it toward the end. But what I will say is this, is that, if you watch the YouTube channel Keep Gunning, for all the gunners that came over, and through us love and support, it was insane. It was intense, and I feel bad if anybody had questions that we missed, but we will gladly answer them. We do this every Wednesday at 2 p.m. You can come in there and ask your questions, and on top of that, you could DM us and the whole good thing. We have cords just draped in front of everywhere.
And on top of that, Friday's content is
a garage tour.
Yeah. It's going to be a good one.
We can tell who it is.
Why not?
Yeah. So we took a journey up to FCP Euro.
Well, we took a journey.
But you're not on camera. It doesn't matter. We as a company went up to FCP Euro and we did a garage tour, and that's coming out, and they got such a beautiful facility.
They really do. It's insane.
Yeah. So we're going to be bringing that to you on Friday. Make sure you tune in. Man, I'm super pumped to get to our guest. We get to speak to, I think that is the best part about our position, is that we get to speak to so many different people from so many different walks of life. Mm-hmm. And we get to see the perspective of so many different relationships that we've developed over the years.
Yeah. Yeah.
S with the plural. So let's bring her in and we'll go from there. So without further ado, Bridget Burgess, man, I want to talk. I could give you this introduction, but I want to have you tell the story in a way that makes sense.
Okay.
So welcome. First off,
just throwing it right in the spot.
Well, I figure this podcast can be basically all about your deepest and darkest fantasies and secrets, and that's all we're gonna do. I'm just kidding. We're just doing car talk. So interesting enough, I have had a relationship. No, that's not right. It's not going to sound right. I have known your mom for 15 years. Yeah, that's about right.
So, I didn't even know that.
Really?
No.
So
good to know.
I'm trying to think. Your mom, if I remember correctly, was starting to originally do some drifting. And I think this was even before she came – before she officially was moved here from Australia. Does this sound remotely correct?
Kind of, yeah. They definitely had the idea of just moving straight to America and getting into motorsport. And yeah. Drifting was definitely one of the first. So
– I think we were talking about programs, and then it seemed like as your mom made different moves in motorsport, she went from, I think the idea of doing some drifting to some road racing to doing some, off-road truck racing. And as she kind of we seemed to always touch base in different parts. Where she was working on different programs or ideas or different things. And we've had contact, and the last contact was about you and your racing.
Yeah, so I definitely, it was in 2008 we moved over. My mom got into drifting. And that's actually her drift car on this poster.
So sick.
And yeah, it was a Mustang at the time. And over the years, when I grew up in motorsports, it was, I definitely became a very pushy young teenager. Like, hey, I want to get into this. And my parents were like, well, we don't have the money to just buy you a ride, so you better work for it.
Right.
And it was kind of 2017 where I really got into it with off-road. And then in 2018, when we moved to Utah, I got more into asphalt racing. And 2019, it was, no. Yeah, 2019, I did off-road, but 2019, I was definitely getting into asphalt racing. And then 2020, when there was the whole COVID thing, my dad saw this this 1999 BMW Z3. And he's like, we should get that, and that's going to be your drift car. And my parents were like, well, what wheel company should we have? And that's, like, the whole reason of why we went to Kona. It's just like, we've always been in contact with you guys. Let's choose them. So that's how it really started with you guys and my Z3, and I've enjoyed it.
It's incredible because to give people context that may be coming from a span where they may not know who you are, you have been racing and brought up in a racing family your entire life.
Yeah, so I definitely grew up in a workshop. I listened to my parents when they owned a dyno back in Australia. So I was used to the loud noises, always fell asleep to it. And when I moved to the U.S., it was, my parents were never going to give up on motorsports. Till this day, they don't. Doesn't matter how hard it gets, but yeah, it's definitely something that I grew up around. My interest in motorsports really hit at the age 13 when I first saw my off-road race. And it was 2016 or something. So it was, yeah, I saw like trucks hitting each other in the dirt, and I was just like, yeah, I want to get into it. And yeah, it's, from there on, it's been trouble.
So you grow up in, I'm the opposite. Like, my parents weren't into cars. I kind of found my own leg, and then I became overly obsessed with it. And to this day, I'm overly obsessed with it.
Well, that makes two of us.
Yeah. I mean, I spend more time in my garage than I probably should. And I just think that there's something about cars that becomes intoxicating for me. So you growing up in a car family, you clearly had access to things and capabilities and tools that a lot of other people usually don't have. So why did it take the 13 before you were like into the car thing?
I think it was more along the lines because even when my mom did drifting, I wasn't entirely old enough to go to all these events. Therefore, I was kind of not at every race event, and I wasn't always with my parents. There were just little moments where I was in a workshop growing up, and on top of that, just going to a public school, I wasn't entirely focused on anything at that time. But yeah, at the age 13, it's like I was being more aware of what was happening, how hard my parents were working at the workshop, especially when my mom did Global Rallycross.
Yep.
There were long days with that car. Like, it was pretty crazy. And on top of that, because of how busy they were, they're like, you need to start putting tools away. You need to clean a workshop. You need to, like, actually be involved.
That's so cool. Because, like, I think when I think of my childhood, right, and I think of chores, it's like, oh, you got to vacuum your room. You got to make your bed. This one gets to put away tools and, like,
yeah, she's putting away torque wrenches and you're trying to fold your underwear.
Yeah, there you go.
So what age did you come over from Australia?
It was 2008, so I would have been 6 years old.
Man, that makes, I feel so old now.
I see.
Because I hear that and I'm like, oh man, 2008? Like, that was, I was in my, I was over my prime, maybe.
Dude, I graduated college in 2008. Like, that's nuts.
So, your mom, and for people that don't know this, has been just steadily racing for many years. She left Australia to come here with the hopes, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, about furthering race efforts, race programs, and really being competitive in some of the motorsports that were happening here in the States.
Okay, so what happened was my parents both loved racing. They both had the passion for it. And my mom was actually just like you guys. She didn't grow up in motorsports.
Yep.
It wasn't until she met my dad where she really got into it. And they didn't have a date night. It was going to the drag races, and that was kind of it. And so that's how she got into motorsports. But when 2007, Australia had brought this law in where is anyone under the age 25 couldn't drive a V8 or a turbo, which kind of just killed their business. And they're like, you know what? We're tired of this. America has more freedom to go racing. Let's move there. My dad will be the race car driver, and so on. Well, my dad is not entirely a people's person or someone to be on camera like a race car driver should be. And instead of my parents giving up on motorsports and moving back to Australia, my mom's like, you know what? I'll do it. So that's how my mom got into drifting. And that's really what started it. And at that time, it's not like there were many females in motorsports. Like there was, just not like there is today. And it's not often you hear an Australian girl drifting in an RX-8 that has a four-rotor in it. So it caught a lot of attention, and that's really what just pumped it up.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because I've met so many people over the years, so many racers, so many, you know, families that were into motorsport. And I will say, without even joking, your family is of some of the nicest, most genuine people, period. So...
Yeah, it's my parents, because we don't take anything for granted. We have to work really hard for it. And we know that at any day of the week, it could all be taken away. So we definitely hustle and stay genuine to people, because that's very important in this industry. You don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah. So racing in some of these series, or watching, at least growing up, you're watching your mom compete in some of these series. A lot of this stuff, when you start talking about rally racing, off-road truck racing, drifting, these are sports that are pretty grueling in the sense that they don't come without their fair share of incidents and accidents and kind of body getting beat up from racing. Did that stuff ever deter you when you look and you're like, why does my mom, like everybody else's mom is like going to the PTA and my mom is getting her butt kicked in a rally car? Not placing wise, but just the natural kind of vigor it takes on your body, you know?
The physical brutality.
Yeah.
So I'd say the toughest part with drifting was, it's obviously a judged sport, and I did pay attention to that. And in some ways, that was really tough just because it put a lot on my parents of trying to be competitive in it. And then when it got to rallycross, that was tough because we were a very small team. We only had like a Mercedes Sprinter and a single black indoor trailer, and it was very hard to compete in that series. And which is why we ended up going to off-road. Going into off-road was also tough, just money-wise. We were on a tight budget. We were working with what we had. I'd say the hardest one to watch was the off-road racing, because it's not every day you see your mom roll over an off-road truck.
Yeah.
So, or like just have the catch bench, like she just crashes into it and you're like, oh, I hope she's okay. And then like to my mom, she has a roll cage. And I seem like just learned very quickly, like she has a roll cage, a fire suit, a helmet. She's fine out there.
Yeah.
So it was tough, but at the same time, my dad has always told me, like, if you're going to be dumb, you better be tough. And that's what I grew up with. And we're a tough family, so we figure it out.
Yeah, for sure.
I was going to say, I wonder if that's part of the reason why at a young age she wasn't brought to events. Because you know, maybe you weren't old enough to know about the roll cage and all that stuff, or
You know, maybe. I mean, you probably could just ask better, but I would say, as somebody that has kids, I think the hard part is that, you know, you have to be focused as a driver.
Right.
So you can't, you don't want to just leave your kids like hanging out in a trailer,
yeah,
you know, all by themselves. So like at some point you have to get old enough to the point where you know that they can kind of, you know.
And that's how you know that I'm not a dad.
Well, hold on. So when there was, so Formula Drift, it was like, there were definitely moments where I grew up a bit and I was old enough where I could go to those events. It was more along the lines where my mom was tired of getting a call from the school every day, like, hey, you know, is your daughter training up? Oh no, she's at a drift event. Sorry. And that's kind of what it turned into. And which is why I eventually got into homeschool, which kind of sucked because I'm a very talkative, social person. But I had to do it for racing. But yeah, that was the whole reason why I couldn't go to the events, was just school, which is lame.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, but there is something to say about education. I mean, you need enough of it that you don't become ignorant.
Well, look, her mom says hi.
Oh, I think she's clapping for her, not saying hi to you.
No, I thought it was a wave to
no,
us,
her she's
daughter.
Clapping for her. She's not saying hi to you. When so let's talk about, you know, I think that speaking about your mom and your dad and your family context is important for kind of telling your story, and that's kind of where I was trying to get. I don't want to speak all, I mean, not that they're not great people, but what your first entry into racing, what is that?
My first entry into like my own racing, it was 2017, getting into short course off-road. So at that 2017, I did not have my own race car or anything. I did have a Polaris RZR that I drove in a backyard, and that was it. What I was starting to race was my mom's pro truck, which was a risk, but we couldn't afford to just go buy one.
Yeah.
The reason why it was a risk was because I would race it at the regionals, which is a weekend before the pro race. So if I wrecked the truck, it was, you know, no bueno.
Yeah.
And so it was, my parents were willing to do that for me, which I'm very thankful for. I did the regional races so I could build my license to get into the pro series. And finally, during the off season between 2017 and 2018, I just bought a roller chassis, which it was like $6,500 out of someone's backyard. And it was not the greatest. It had to be cut down. It was very top heavy. So my dad and I worked really hard on that. And that's really what I got started into, was short course off-road.
So now you start racing, you said 2017. So you are how old?
I am 19 now. So 2017, I started racing at 15.
What age did you get your driver's license?
I got it at 16, and it's funny you say that because I failed my driver's test.
Now, so is that because you tried to take them off-road?
It was actually because I didn't do enough head checks. Because who does that?
Yeah, you don't need that.
Yeah, so I learned to actually do. I failed the online test, had to do that again. And then when it came to the actual driving test, I failed that too. So
yeah,
well, I did everything
ironic.
Twice.
It's pretty ironic. You're able to do off-roading and you can't pass a driver's test.
But
first.
But
that's
the point,
crazy.
My point was, is that she was racing before she even had a driver's license.
No, for sure. Yeah.
So, all right, listen, you don't have a driver's license. You don't have driving experience. How is it possible that you can start racing at 16, right? So I guess what I'm saying is, at 15, how is it possible? What did you do before you started racing? How did you get wheel experience to be able to be in racing?
I'd say, I think I was 13 or 14, my dad bought me this like little Chinese UTV thing. Mm-hmm. And that's what I kind of started off in. That thing was, it always fell apart. So that's where I also had to learn how to work on something. And then when my dad was like, you know what, we'll just like get rid of that and get you this secondhand Polaris. And that's really when I just gained a fair amount of experience, because my parents, we were renting 25 acres in Southern California at the time. So it kind of freaked out my parents. They weren't so happy to see their daughter like ripping some speed and some a Polaris that only had zip tied seats in there.
Yeah.
But it was still driver experience. And then one day my dad randomly decided to pull out the off-road truck and see how I did with that in the backyard. So that I did have a little bit of driving experience. As for fully sending an off-road truck on a jump, I had no clue until I turned up to an actual track, which I did rent out the track before a race. But my lap times weren't bad, and my parents were like, yeah, we'll just throw it in there and see what happens.
Man,
we'll see
how she does. Talk about like trial by fire. I can't imagine like just going from what that level to kind of such a competitive racing level.
That's crazy,
man. And I'll say, like, you know, Bridget, you're badass. I mean, I see you on your Instagram working on, you know, building engines and doing the whole thing. So there's no part of your program that you don't touch.
Yeah, no, I'm fully hands-on with like what I'm doing. And it's mainly just because that's how my parents raised me. They're like, if you want to work for it, you got to hustle it and just do it. And it has its moments where it can be a bit hard, just the long hour days. But to me, it's just totally worth it. I've watched my parents work extremely hard, and I just follow their path.
So now you are currently, I would say your main focus right now, ARCA racing, am I right?
Yes.
Which, can you give people that may not be super in tune with what ARCA is, can you give them kind of the synopsis of where it is, why you're doing it, and kind of where you hope it's going to lead you?
Okay, so the ARCA Menards, I race in the West Series. So basically, ARCA is the fourth level of NASCAR. So you have NASCAR Cup, Xfinity Trucks, and then R level. And my top goal is definitely to be in the NASCAR Cup. Hopefully I get there. It's going to take a fair amount of work. And that's basically what ARCA is, and that's my goal. And the car I drive is literally very similar to the NASCAR Cup car. Yeah, I just have cars. It's a couple hundred horsepower less. But the weight is similar. The body, the cup level ran a steel body. I run a fiberglass body. I actually race a 2015 cup car, but it was converted over to ARCA.
Yeah.
So my car is slightly different. It's a bit more heavier than the other cars that I race with. Top heavy wise, I should say. We're a family that works really hard, and that's what ARCA is. And yeah, and that's my goal for it.
So when you are ripping around and you're in NASCAR, you'll remember me enough to maybe give me a ticket so I can come to the pit area, because I will be honest, I have never been to a live NASCAR race.
Same.
And I would like to go when you get ready.
Definitely come to one.
All right. I mean, I'll take that.
There you go, right? You get a ticket, I don't.
He could come too, I guess.
Well, when we get off of this thing, I'll tell you a few things about him. You may change your mind.
Oh, damn.
That's harsh.
So you're starting to drift now just for the fun of it, not for the competitiveness of it per se.
Yeah, I'm doing it not just for fun, but also seat time. I mean, at the end of the day, drifting takes a lot of car control, and it's something that I am always willing to learn in any type of motorsports. And I watched my mom drift, and I saw the difficulties, because you're sliding a car in your control, And with NASCAR, although we don't look like we're sliding, we don't have the full angle kit, we are still actually sliding our tires off a corner just because of the horsepower. It's a 3,400-pound car. And again, we're on these like big tires, and I race with over 600 horsepower. So you have to have a lot of control, especially when you go to the big Phoenix track and our average speed is 150 and you're just sliding all over the place. That's the average speed. And it's, you know, you really have to learn how to have the car control, which is why I am getting into drifting.
Yeah, it makes sense. You know, it's funny. It's like years ago before drift simulators and video games were so apparent, most of the footing that a lot of the FD drivers had were in other motorsports. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They used to say, I remember hearing this so many times from, like, and your mom remember this, like back in the Gary Gardella days and different things. Like, ooh, people would say,
throwback.
Yeah, right.
Oh my
but
God.
Like, but people would say, like, you know, the some of the best drifters at the time were people that came from road racing some you know capacity, because of the fact that drifting was knowing where that line was and being able to push through the envelope while still controlling the car, you know?
Well, couldn't you argue that that's why HPDE, high performance driving, is also such a popular thing? Like, it's, I feel like it's sort of on the...
You're talking about like HPDE? Like
there
the,
you go, yeah.
The education part of it? I don't know. I mean, I guess, but I think HPDE is like the gateway into like NASA racing and stuff where you can like do more.
I was just thinking in terms of like along the line of car control, but anyway.
I'm with you. But yeah, so that makes perfect sense. You know, gaining the car control and just getting another aspect of, you know, drifting is that controlled chaos. It's that controlled out of control, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're controlling the car being out of control. Drifting doesn't get nearly enough credit for the skill involved that it takes to actually drive those cars competitively and put the car where you need it to be.
It's nuts.
I agree.
So how much time have you spent drifting yet?
Well, I did mainly start learning it last year, and then I made a minor mistake with the Z3 at the end of last year. It was my first ever and hopefully last money shift, and it wasn't while drifting. It was actually, I was on a road course with it. Because my dad and I had made some changes, and because my garage is at the racetrack, I get to take it out on the road course or drift it on the paddock whenever I want.
That is fantastic.
Which is nice.
Must be nice. It's...
Yeah. But yeah, I did a money shift, and my dad's like, well, instead of fixing these simple bent valves, let's just put a bigger engine in there. So we did go from a 2.5 liter to a 3.0. And, we had to order like some parts for it, which took forever to get due to the whole COVID situation.
Yeah.
And now we're like in the middle of putting it back together. And I think I finally convinced my dad to just make it 100% a drift car and not just 50-50 between road course and drifting. Cause you know, you can't put a twitchy drift car in a road course. It's pretty tough to drive. And so right now it's in the middle of just getting the engine, finished. And we basically just have to add on the manifold. I finally convinced my dad to let me add nitrous to it. That took a lot. Ooh. Like I've been begging for him to let me add that for like a whole year. Ever since that car got there, I was like, it needs nitrous. It's not, you know, it's not a V8. It needs something.
Yeah.
So
it's a tough thing. So let's talk, what kind of things have we done? Do we have an angle kit in the car yet?
Yes.
All right.
Definitely needed that.
Check.
Right. Limited slip. The car comes with a limited slip, doesn't it?
My dad was just like, let's just roll the whole diff.
Well, that makes sense.
It's a fully locked diff because it's not going to be a street car. My parents wouldn't let me have it as a street car.
We can take it on the racetrack and drift it, but don't dare drive it in the speed limit and stop at red lights. Okay. And stuff.
No.
So we have you have a hand brake, or are you still using stock e-brake?
So I was never actually using the stock e-brake because it was useless. So I didn't really practice with that. I did figure out how to learn an e-brake in someone else's BMW, but I did just add the Chase Bay e-brake in there. It was originally an inline, but now we're just switching up to the calipers, dual calipers. So we'll have fun with that too. I have not used it yet though.
Yeah, I guess it's a whole other world. I'm not a drift driver, so whatever. But it's a whole other world when you get into the point where you can left foot brake and operate a handbrake. Gives you some different depth there, right?
Yeah. Actually, it was funny. When I first used the e-brake in someone else's BMW, my dad's like, you need to have your foot on the clutch and pull it at the same time. I'm like, what? Yeah. Like, who does that? But once I figured out, I was like, oh yeah, it's pretty simple. It's more harder than I thought. And that was the day where I was like, yeah, I'm going to give a lot more credit to drifters because this is much harder.
Do you have a drift simulator? Do you have a racing simulator? Have you built one with the, computer-ness stuff?
I have the whole iRacing thing. I don't have the fully built simulator. I do just have like the connector for my desk and the gas pedals, and that's about it. But no, it's not like a full sitting simulator like other people have. But I am trying to work on that. It's just a budget thing.
Man, I tell you, I drool over that Fanatec stuff. Like,
yes.
Man, it's so. What are you doing?
It's just
one?
It's not something I follow. That's just between the two.
All right, that's fair.
Sorry.
So it's so cool. They have one of our drivers, Travis Reeder, who's an FD driver. He's been like he randomly sends me like the for sale classifieds postings like, "Yo, dude, buy this one." You know? Cuz I'm trying to get this drift simulator. So I have, not that anybody here cares, but I have two kids. My son is going to be 7. My daughter is going to be 9. My son, not a care in the world for anything car related. My daughter loves it. So I took her an FD event. What was it? Last month.
Yeah. Wow.
And
when the tent flew away.
What's that?
I said when the tent flew away.
And and so she just couldn't get enough of it. And so now I'm like, well, I think I would like to, well, I mean, yeah, I'll use it too, but I'd like her to have the opportunity to play on this thing. So I'm determined to build a simulator. It's incredible to me how some of these guys, you know, I think about Brandon Sorensen. I think about who was really big in the younger part.
Beecham, right? Is that another young one?
Yeah, I mean, there's been so many people that have been able to use these simulators to really perfect and really fine-tune their skills, which allowed them to enter in without having a ton of competitive real-life seat time.
Yeah, that is the amazing thing about a simulator. Although I don't drift, I definitely use it to get the idea of the track before I go to a track that I've never been to. For me, I'd say the hardest part is because I am able to go on the paddock or the road course whenever I want. I would rather have that real life feeling.
Yeah.
But for other people who don't have that opportunity, I think it is an amazing thing. Because I definitely think of drivers back in the day how like just turned up to a racetrack and had no idea of the track. Like, I just think it's kind of crazy. But for that opportunity nowadays, it's definitely great. Brandon is always on iRacing or doing something with drifting on the simulator, I noticed. So, yeah very true.
Yeah, he's super talented. But don't you think that there's something to the simulator and saving money? Like, for example, you're not going through tires, you're not going through fuel, you're not beating up the car kind of thing?
Yeah, that's also another part of it too. As my parents say, they're like, it's much cheaper for you to not use tires and go on iRacing.
Yeah.
They do remind me that a lot. And yeah, it's true. Just being able to save the money and the time in the workshop and just practicing on something very similar to what you are doing. But yeah, it is definitely an amazing thing that that's come along now.
Well, I was going to say, let's switch gears a little bit, because one of the other things you're involved with,
no pun intended,
very much intended. You work at the a Utah campus of some sort, doing racing, or at the shop there. Can you tell us more about that?
I do not officially work for the track at all, but I definitely do volunteer a lot of time there. Especially when there's events on and I am available, I definitely like to be out there helping, and just being supportive of the racetrack. I definitely do love my home track here. I mean, it's the second largest road course in the U.S. But yeah, they have NASA events there, and once in a while, I actually bring out my NASCAR and race it in the class. Is it the HPD? What we were just talking about.
Yeah,
I have done that. Yeah, I have done that with the NASCAR. I did try and do spec Miata in NASA. And a funny story about that is that I got my license one day and got it taken away the next. So it's
Hold on. you can't graze by that comment. We need to hear the story.
So this person was like, he wanted to help me with my racing. He's like, well, I'll get you a spec Miata and you can drive that and just have more seat time. And I was like, sweet, sounds great. It should be simple, right? No, apparently you can't do aggressive driving or braking really deep during a warm-up session. I kind of like built my license up and they're like, yeah, she's doing good. She's a little aggressive on braking really deep and just dive bombing people. And for my last race where I had my official license for it, there were two situations earlier in that day with one driver. They were like, just dive bomb him. That's not okay. I'm like, okay, I don't see the point of racing if I can't dive bomb people. apparently that wasn't the right response.
Right.
And then that kind of happened again, but it was more of a slide job and we kind of just tapped doors. I didn't think it was a big deal, but the other driver did. And then for the very final incident on the last lap, a couple corners before the checkered flag, I knew this driver coming up behind me and I like did not have the horsepower to compete. So I was just going to let him go. Well, he ended up dooring me for no reason. And I was a little upset about it. And there might have been something on, we had to run cameras in our car. There might have been something on camera where they're like, yeah, it's also not okay. You did your three strikes. You're done. I left my car at the workshop and just walked away and watched a different class. I decided to watch the Porsches run because I like that. And I come back to my garage and there's a paper on my windshield. And I had to fill out this body contact report. And I was just like, are you serious? Like, out of my years in off-road and my experience of NASCAR, we should not be making so much of a big deal for these, like, dive bombs or body contact.
Huh.
But, I learned, don't be Spec Miata.
Spec Miata is not the class that... Yeah, it's more, I feel like Spec Miata, even though, and I don't want to say the wrong thing because I'm going to piss people off, but...
going to lose all our NASA discounts.
Just say it.
It's kind of like time attack with other cars. Like, it's more about them racing against the clock, for the most part. That's what it feels like anyway. You know what I mean? Like, it's more of a... repetitive consistency, building kind of like a time where they're trying to beat amongst other
you're
cars.
Racing against people, but you're really just racing against yourself with other cars on track.
Sort of, it's
something like that.
Anyway. I'm just saying the way it's viewed. I mean, a lot of these guys, this is they're not necessarily race cars. A lot of times they're street cars, so I think that they're the idea of getting
bumped
door checked
casually.
Is like,
yeah,
you know, but
it's the pinata class. That's what I was told.
Oh man, we're offending people all over the place.
Oh boy.
So, sort of. I'm just looking at the comments real quick. So Tyler Wortman.
I was going to say, there are definitely a few questions, at least here and there, sporadically. A lot of comments.
Yeah, I mean, so it seems like we have some fans of yours in here, that's sure. Racer Wreck is, I don't know if you know who that is, but...
I've seen that account a couple times, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, they seem to, they're all in. let's see, Anita Baja, let's see. Hey, Bridget, I just want to say that what you and your mom do all by yourself with a race team is really remarkable, and I hope you and your mom keep doing your thing with y'all's race team in ARCA West.
There you go. That was nice.
Yeah. That was from Christian Carver.
Oh,
your mom, like you said, Jared said, your mom was in here.
Yeah, she wasn't clapping.
She was clapping for her, not for you.
She was clapping.
Christian Carver also says, I'm a big fan of what Bridget does as a race car driver, with the way she works on her car and is a hard worker in whatever she does. I'm thrilled for her when she got a top 10 finish at Sonoma.
That was a tough race. That was really fun, though.
It's cool to, like, know... Maybe this is me. This what? Here comes old me again. Like, yeah,
you
so
got
it's
old
cool
man River
me.
Next to me. Jeez.
What?
I said we got old man River next to
me. I mean, listen, I think, like, she's this good now she's 19.
Right.
She's got so many years, even, you know, until 25 to really, like, enhance the skill level and really push herself to progress into some of these things. So that's it. I'm not going to a NASCAR race until you're driving. That's my new thing. So you better get there soon. I got to see one before I get too old.
Well, let's see. Tyler Wortman also asked, he said, women in F1 one day? Thoughts?
Well.
I tried. It's a lot of my budget.
Yeah, it is. That's a. Woof.
Yeah.
I don't know if I even really enjoy F1. Do you?
That's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
They're just very big go-karts. That's how I see them.
Yeah, I mean, until you get into Lewis Hamilton's thing and he can, like, send altitude in through the steering wheel. You see that thing he could do with the changing, what was it, camber, they suspect, by pushing in or pulling out on the wheel?
Yeah, I mean, I did notice that because I do have a shifter cart, which also needs to be fixed. You can definitely do things with the steering wheel and it messes with how it's steering. But it feels weird because you can feel it like grinding on the steering wheel, but you keep doing it anyway.
Let's see what else. Yeah, if we keep scrolling,
I'm more looking through comments. Sorry, yeah. Let's see here. Spec Miata, Tyler Ward. Yeah, Tyler's got there's a woman F4 league. I don't know anything about formula racing.
Yeah, I really don't.
So I'm outclassed here. I don't.
I mean, we don't make wheels for it, so
Tyler,
why should
I'll
we care?
I'm well,
kidding.
We did.
I'm kidding. What? Really?
Yeah. Anyhow, that's a whole other story. So before we let you go, I want to talk to you about... So you, are in a perfect demographic. More people and more women have been getting involved in professional racing than ever before, which is amazing because I remember thinking, you know, like when your mom first had started working with us, like being a female driver was this incredibly marketable thing that a lot of people used. And some women, you know, they were always looked at as, oh, they're just getting this ride as because they're a female, right? But what's been so interesting, and we sponsor a fair amount of women drivers, is that today, when people are starting to get to a point, and when I say starting, I don't mean like it doesn't exist. I just mean in the big picture of things, where they really are able to look at them as drivers, just drivers. No reason that they're here, not because they're female. No one pulls that crap. Have you felt coming up that you've when you're racing in some of these different series that you've had or experienced, you know, sexism or anything that, or do you feel like that really has started to leave internally?
I've never experienced anything bad as a female driver. I've always have heard the common words like, oh, you're a female, it's definitely easier for you to get sponsors. And how I always put it is, yes, we might stand out a little bit more, but at the end of the day, it's not like someone looks at us and says, oh, you're a female, let's just sponsor your whole funding for the rest of the year. That doesn't happen.
Right.
If it did, I would be racing a lot more things. But it's, you know, I've never experienced like anything negative. I think more of the respect that I get is just because people see me working on my car at the track. It's not, I usually just have my hair up. I'm really sweaty and gross and I'm there to work for it and drive. I don't turn up and say, oh, I'm a female, look at me. For me, it's like I race the number 88 and everyone else in front of me is just seen as another race number. And I think it respect goes from your attitude and how hard you work for it. And that's how I get respect and I give respect to other people for it.
Yeah, 1,000%. That's an amazing answer.
Yeah, very well said.
Because it's just so important to me. And, you know, and one of the reasons that I really wanted to take my daughter to an FD event, you know, we hung out with Kelsey a little bit and she got to see Amanda Sorensen out there and stuff like that. And so, like, I just think that being able to show and expose them to things and not say, oh, here's a girl racer, here's a woman racer, but be able to say, you know, here's another racer and have her see with her eyes that it's female. It that's how we're going to make this sport continuously integrated, right? Like you make it so that it's not something that stands out. It's just part of racing. And It's just super important that people like you are out there, you know, doing exactly what you just said, you know, working hard, making it happen, building the merit up to the point where that's all people see is just a driver.
Yeah, it's funny because other people, they always ask me how I feel about other drivers. Like if I'm were to be holding a grudge against someone, or even when I was racing my mom in off-road, they're like, you know, how do you see her? I'm like, she's not my mom and she's not Sarah. She's the number 97. And that's how it is. Yeah. That's just how I see everyone else. I just see a race number. So I'm very supportive of other females getting into the sport. I love sending messages to other young females or other females. It's just the mentality is just to be supportive and respectful. I feel like respect comes a long way no matter who you are.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I agree with that 1,000%. You know, so this year, let's what's this year look like for you, right? We're finally back to events. We're starting to get back into some sort of sense of normalcy, whatever that means. What's on store for the rest of this year for you?
So what I'm doing for the rest of 2021 is obviously completing the ARCA Menards West series. And I'm doing all the races and just going to more events. I want to definitely put myself more out there and meet people in person because I did not get to do any of that last year. So I'm trying to just line up events with Gear Ranch Tools, go to any of their motocross events. I also would like to go to a couple FD events. Unfortunately, it's like they decided to just blend in their races together with mine. So far, I think the only one I can make it to is the last event in Irwindale.
It's arguably the best one. Seriously. Yeah. That's arguably the best one.
You know what's funny is that I asked the other NASCAR drivers how they feel, or other drivers in my series, about how they feel with the Formula Drift going to Irwindale. They're like, oh, you know, they leave so much rubber on the track. I'm like, what car doesn't leave rubber on the track? It's so funny to hear that. But that's just my goal, is finishing this the season off with the ARCA Menards series and doing appearances for Gear Ranch Tools, you guys, GT Radio, and yeah, meeting people.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm a big Gear Ranch fan, so that's a good sponsor for you to have, especially when you work on your own stuff. Because
yes,
go through a lot of tools.
Oh yeah,
it's incredible.
I love it.
What about, let's see? So Racer Rec is saying that you need to do more TikTok garage / mechanic posts.
I've been trying. Unfortunately, once I hit the workshop, I'm kind of in work mode. But I'm definitely trying to definitely do more on TikTok and YouTube, trying to get all that together. And it's just a matter of also finding a time to edit everything and post it. So yeah. I am working on it.
I get it. I suck at social media. I can't.
You really do.
I know. I don't remember. Like, I, if I go into the garage, like, I do so much stuff. I never, like, it just, I just could care less about trying to take a picture of it to show people. So, you know, hey, what are you going to do?
But people care about you, man. Nobody. Believe it or not.
Nobody.
Yeah, they do.
No. So I want to say thank you for you doing this. I know we didn't give you a lot of headroom as far as what we would be talking about. And
I tried.
You know, so I know that sometimes, you know, it comes on to these. Have you done any of these podcasts yet?
I have done them with other people before, and I'm used to getting the random questions. So I enjoy getting asked questions about my racing. It's something that I love to talk about, so yeah. It's very easy for me.
So would you rank us last or in the middle?
You're trying to get a Nielsen rating out of her?
Yeah.
I have a lot of fun with this. I mean, as a scale of 1 to 10, I definitely give it like a 9.9.
Wow.
You heard it first,
man,
ladies and gentlemen.
Testimony. We're going to be using, by the way, you may have to sue us afterwards because we're going to use your likeness and just gonna say,
oh my gosh.
No, we're going to say, it's going to say, Bridget says we're 9.9 out of all the podcasts. Anyhow.
I'm totally down to do more podcasts. I love these.
Nice.
Oh, man. We're going to have to really start writing stuff. We're not very good at this stuff. There we just go. Try. So, well, maybe we'll ask your mom to come on one at some point. And you can come with her and tell her how you feel that you can beat her on the track.
We could do that.
Yeah.
I think we should get another Z3 on board and have a whole female team with the Z3s.
Man.
Wouldn't it be funny if, like, her and I actually got into FD? Like, considering she used to do it, if her and I together got back into it?
Yeah, I mean, they
kind of been in conversation.
You know?
I think it'd be fun.
Two Z3s tandeming in the final battle.
Well, I mean, you're going to have to stuff an LS in that Z3.
I know! I actually have an LS sitting there. I keep telling my dad, like, let's just add it in there. Don't deal with the BMW problems. All problems are solved once you put an LS in.
Yeah.
And he's not listening to me.
Hey, you just jam an LS in there and, you know, off to the races.
There you go.
Man,
yes.
That's awesome. Well, if you do, send pics because I love that stuff. Anything you can VH shoehorn in there.
Right.
And just tell my mom that I need to be at Formula Drift events for you guys so I can actually just go there.
Listen, don't tempt us. I mean, we don't go to enough of them ourselves, but... Man,
it was a struggle just for us to get to Jersey.
That's an hour away. It's not an hour away.
Well, for me, it's an hour away.
So, but yeah. So, but you should definitely get out to some Formula Drift events. I think they're fun. I also think that the amount of people that you meet out there. Oh, look.
Yes.
This guy.
He said it. Yes. Tyler, you are my. Oh. Love it.
Tyler, I don't know that I agree with you. And so, Tyler Wertman, just so you know what we're looking at, he said that the 1UZ is better than an LS. And listen, I don't agree.
Oh, yeah.
Don't agree. So, anyhow, thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. Please say hi to your parents for me. It's been so interesting to know that, you know, I never met you when you were a little girl, but there's been so many times I've heard your mom talk about you and I've seen pictures and different things, and to see how amazing it is to watch you find a passion that was so deeply rooted within your family's passion. And
I mean, essentially in her genetics, you know?
Yeah. I wish I had some better genetics.
Well, that makes two of us.
But But seriously, I appreciate you taking the time to come on and hang out with us for a little bit. And I hope I didn't take you away from wrenching too long.
No, gotta just get back to iRacing right now. That's about excellent. It. But thank you for having me on. I had a lot of fun with it.
Oh, awesome. I appreciate it. And we'll make sure that, not that, whatever, but Alex, who's over here, he'll make sure that you get, we'll put all your social stuff down in the description so people can find you. But let's be honest, most of the people that came here, they already right. They already know where to find
the
her.
13
so.
People.
So, but thank you so much. And what?
Pants?
Oh, cool. Yeah. All right. So thanks so much. And I don't know. We'll let you go back to the wild now.
Thank you.
All right.
Have Bye-bye. A good one.
Man, I'll tell you. I think it's so interesting. Jeans. Yeah, we got a Tyler.
No, I get it.
I get it. It's very good. It's very good. So I think it's so interesting. And like I said this in the beginning of the podcast when we first opened up, I think it's so interesting to be able to really bring our relationships that we have in and share them with you. And, you know, even somebody like Bridget, I haven't personally ever met. No, I don't think I've met Bridget in person. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I've known her parents for you know, a long time. And not like we're best friends, but like, you know, in working capacity. And they're just such good people. And in to be able to show people how, you know, certain people get into motorsports, this isn't a give me. Mm-hmm. These are people that are hardworking people that have worked their entire life, you know, probably countless hours. You know, this isn't somebody that was given a ticket, given a ride, given anything. And so to hear that story, and I'll tell you, the one thing that amazes the hell out of me mm-hmm. is the fact that she went from, without even having a driver's license, driving experience, she went from basically a beat up, you know, UTV to racing her mom's pro truck in the backyard because they have 25 acres.
Well, that's where the jeans come in.
Like when I was Seriously. 15 and once whatever, I once took my mom's car out and I remember thinking like, this is not good, you know? So
I think the other cool thing to mention here is, you know, the idea that as Bridget was mentioning, you know, you and Sarah have been in contact for a number of years, but never really had a chance to work together. And the value of her daughter having a chance to work with us,
yeah.
and we're the first that they yeah. think of. I mean, that says yeah. a lot. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, she's you know, they're just like, and I really mean this. You know, sometimes people say things to get it on, you know, get it on a podcast or because it's whatever. But genuinely, some of the nicest people you'll ever meet. Always really happy and you know, fun to speak to. They're not. You know, they're totally understanding. They understand how, you know, what efforts they need to put in. They understand what kind of things they need to bring, never looking for a handout. They're just really good people. And when you start to think of motorsports and teams and people that you want to support, these are the type of people that you want to support, you know. There so you go. That's it. Listen, for those that came over from the live and are still with us, I appreciate you. For those that aren't subscribed to our YouTube channel already, please subscribe. It means a lot to us, and not only that, but we are putting up content every Friday. This Friday will be
FCP Euro Garage Tour.
It's going to be so good. So good. So I haven't seen it yet, but I hear.
Neither have
it's
I.
It's so good. Alex, so good? Alex, shake his head yes.
Yep.
We so it's so good. And that's it. So make sure that if you did not tune into the live that was on Instagram at 2 p.m. today earlier, right before this podcast, go check it out. Because there was a giveaway announcement there, not only for a set of wheels, but also for a car. And four other prizes that you could win. Go over to our Instagram. Check out our Instagram reels or, you know, right there. Watch it, check it out. It tells you all the facts there. I don't want you guys to miss out. And it's not because we're running it, but it's going to happen.
We're not even running it.
No, but the cars are wheels on it, and so will yeah. the giveaway set will be from us. So we're super pumped. Anyhow, that's it for today. We will catch you back here next Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, where we come to the live and, you know, we do the whole Q&A thing, hangout thing, and introduce you to a bunch of people. Take care of yourself, and we'll catch you next week.